And welcome to our Monday audio cast for May 12th, 2008 for MathWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Today's audio cast is brought to you by IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. As you may have read recently in AvWeb, Swift Enterprises has unveiled a new general aviation fuel that it says will be less expensive, more fuel efficient, and more friendly to the environment than any on the market. Swift promises their new synthetic fuel can replace standard petroleum fuel 100 low lead and provide an effective greater range while costing about half as much to produce. AvWeb's Paul Bertarelli caught up with Swift's John Zerkowski to find out more.
Hi, I'm Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. We're talking today with John Zerkowski, who's a principal in Swift Enterprises. And we ran a story this week that explained that Swift is about to introduce a manufactured alternative aviation fuel for piston aircraft. John, you're a Purdue graduate and a pilot. You've been involved with Swift here for a little while. Tell us a little bit about this fuel.
Yeah, that's correct. We have been working on the fuel for approximately 3 years now in the Purdue Research Park with Swift Enterprises. What we're doing is we are actually looking at a different approach to a renewable fuel rather than the typical ethanol that most pilots dread. What we're looking at is actually manufacturing a fuel that meets specifications. The current specification, of course, being ASTM B910, which encompasses 100 low-lead avgas. So we're taking the approach that we can take a 100% renewable bioproduct, make the fuel, and have no additives and no oxygenates in the fuel, and still get better or equal to specifications.
And what kind of octane are we talking about here?
Our current fuel sits at about 104.5 octane, which is well within the specification. Anything greater than 90, roughly 98.
Is that a motor octane or a research octane?
No, that is the motor octane number. In the industry, the research octane number isn't cared about as much. The spec just asks that you report that instead of a test for it. So what we're testing for is the motor octane number.
One of the problems with alcohol, well, actually two problems. One is that it attacks seals and gaskets in engine, and the other is that it's hydrophilic. How does this fuel behave with regard to that?
With regard to the seals, we've tested it, all the common seals in light general aviation aircraft, the Buna seals and bladders. We've also run a test called a BOCL, ball on cylinder lubricity test, which is run for jet aircraft fuel, Jet A, and we came in way below half spec versus that test. There is no test per se for 100 low lead to test wearing on aircraft components, but we figured we'd use the Jet A parameter is kind of a bar to shoot for and see where our fuel rated. And we were about, like I said, half of the wear scar that was attained. So what that tells us is that we are perfectly, you know, missable with the aircraft components.
How about the hydroscopic nature? Does the fuel absorb water?
No, actually the fuel doesn't absorb water. It contains no water. So that's a problem that ethanol has with the ice crystals aloft and actually absorbing water, and then you get into, if you're talking about fuels and biocides with jet fuel, that allows the fuel to grow microbials, and this actually contains no water. So we've addressed that problem, and we do contain no water, and the hydroscopic effect is reduced.
Before we get into the economics, tell us the basic chemistry of this fuel. How's it made?
Well... That kind of is the secret behind the project, so I can't give away too much, but what I can tell you is that we do take biocomponents, which feed a current ethanol plant or any biomass that, for that matter, that we can obtain the sugars from, run it through a typical ethanol plant with a few modifications, which again are the proprietary nature of the project, obtain streams, if you will, and with these streams, obtain our components. So yes, it's true we're using ethanol, but it contains no ethanol, and that's kind of a different theory for people to think about than what they're used to. We're using ethanol on a molecular scale. We're changing ethanol, so it's no longer ethanol, into something more useful and practical that we can use in general aviation. So it's not ethanol, I want to stress that, but we're using the process to come up with our components. And again, we're left with three or four components, blend those together in percentages that we've been exploring for the past 2.5 years, and you get av fuel.
Where is the energy content coming from? Because ethanol has less energy content than avgas does.
Exactly. Well, what we're doing is we are actually changing, again, if you look at the structure of ethanol and the way it's drawn up per the chemical, we're actually changing and adding different molecules to that so it no longer acts and behaves like ethanol. So ethanol is a building block, if you will. So we're actually changing the molecular structure of ethanol to come up with something that is twice the energy content of ethanol.
Is the basis for this corn ethanol? Is that accurate to say?
Actually, what we've tried to do is steer away from a non-food source. If it happens to be that corn is the only thing that's available, like here in the Midwest, that's commercially grown, you get into a problem when you start taking people's food and turning it into fuel. So what we've tried to do is look at other routes. And what we found is you can use a whole wide array of bioproducts. It could be switchgrass, it could be sorghum, whatever the market has that we can use. But at the current point, we can use the corn route. But what we're exploring down the road is using other things that are non-food source to obtain fuel.
Let's talk about the economics of this, both the scale of it and what a gallon of this stuff might cost if it's manufactured in large scale.
We've looked at that as a pilot myself, both a commercial-rated pilot shooting for my ATP and a research director being a pilot. We're very concerned with the cost. In fact, that's how we stemmed the project. We really got sick of paying close to $5 a gallon for avgas. So what we decided to do is look at the economics behind our components. There are hundreds of components out there that you could use, but at $60 a gallon, it wouldn't be viable to use as a practical fuel. So what we've done is we've just looked a baseline without our first pilot plant, which will be up into production within a year to 16 months. Without that, we can't really get our economies of scale down and find out what the true price would be. But if we had to buy these components on an individual basis as of right now, we can get this thing down to, and when we're looking through the Chemical Reporter catalog, we can get it down to about half the cost to manufacture as current avgas. Of course, with a pilot plant and a bio plant to produce these components, you're talking a substantial amount, maybe even half of that price.
That seems a little bit hard to believe when you consider the cost of producing ethanol. And ethanol is, these days, I think the price of it is a bit above gasoline because of the amount of energy it takes to produce the corn and then refine it in an ethanol plant. How does that work? It just seems that it doesn't
add
up.
Well, we're looking at, you bring up a very good point. That's exactly why we're looking to steer away from corn. Because in order to turn corn into ethanol, it's not very practical. There are other high-yield crops. And again, my degree is not in biology. That's why we have people that work with us that are specializing in this field where they can say, you know, you can get a higher yield out of, let's say, switchgrass or sorghum or hay than you can out of corn. And we're talking 3 to 4 times the amount. And again, that's a rough number, but of the amount of yield from the crop when you turn it into a biofuel.
So what's the status of research on this as far as moving to the pilot plant stage? Is Swift Enterprises, I think you said, is seeking private venture capital to fund this?
What we're looking for is private investors, which is different than venture capital groups. We've tried to just stick to private people who want to do good things with their money. And want to truly make a change. And over that ideal, Swift has raised over $1.5 million, and we're continuing on that effort to try and do further testing with independent laboratories, because we don't test our own material. We have to send it out because that validates our process. And at this point, what we're looking for is a two-pronged process. We're looking for a small, maybe 200 to 300 gallon per day laboratory, what we're calling a mini-works, at the Purdue University Airport. We're trying to set that up. And that will allow us to actually change our process and get it ready for scaling up. At that point, we're going to go to the Delphi Airport and look at roughly about a 2,000 gallon per day plant where we could actually produce our fuel, a proof of concept plant. It's rather small. It's not commercial scale, but it will allow us to prove our concept.
And when do you expect that to happen?
Like I said, that's slated anywhere between the next 6 months to the next 14 months.
And then what happens after that, if that mini plant proves successful?
Well, if that mini plant proves successful, then we start licensing for people to produce the fuel. At the same time, we won't sit idly by. We're working with the FAA Fuels research lab out in New Jersey with a CRADA with them, which is a cooperative research agreement, and they will actually be testing our fuel at the same time. We've already been in contact with them over the past 5 months, and they will be testing our fuel in the engines that the FAA has set up in trying to seek the next 100 low-lead fuel replacement. This will allow us to work with them in trying to prove our concept, and hopefully by the time they come back with positive results, then we will have our plant in full swing, and it'll be ready to go at that time, hopefully in the tanks of the Cessna 172s and the Warriors and Arrows of the nation.
Do you have a website with additional information?
Yes, we do. www.swiftenterprises.com. And anybody who's interested in becoming involved or talking to us can visit that website. We've gotten great response so far from the article in AvWeb that came out today, and just looking for more general aviation support from people with their encouraging words, and just getting an awareness about the project now.
Okay, well, thanks for speaking with us, John.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and we really think we got something good here, and
okay.
Appreciate it.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer.
Today's audio cast was brought to you by IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Learn more or subscribe at www.ifr-magazine.com. Comments on today's audio cast welcome audio news at avweb.com. Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.